This is Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We encourage you to join us each weekend as Rich helps us drill deeper with his expository teaching of Scripture. We pray that you'll be encouraged and challenged by today's message.
So what circumstances call us to invite the Lord into the table, into the conversation? Well, every circumstance, every big ones and small ones. It's right to think about that as parenting. How are we helping our kids become aware that God's present, to affirm that He's present, Lord, You're here, and then to welcome Him and to invite Him into the conversation?
Listen as Rich introduces the second part of a message titled, Teaching the Fundamentals.
Well, welcome to Knowing Christ. Today we open up our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, where we continue to think about this theme of parenting. For those of you who have little ones or those who are grandparents with little ones, we believe that God's Word has such an encouragement, and I know that you need encouragement. I know that oftentimes your days are long, they're weary, they're filled with sometimes conflict and difficulty and fears and anxious thoughts and stress, and oftentimes you're weary. I pray that today this message will be a refreshment to your soul as we think about specifically what God would have us to teach our children. There's so much for our children to learn that's good and right. There's reading, and there's writing, there's arithmetic, there's much about relating to other people, social dynamics, but the center is our relationship with God. And so God's Word has a good word for us today about how we can help our children grow in the grace of Jesus. Let's listen together.
If we teach our children to be successful in their school life, and their social life, their athletic life, and every other part of life, but they are without God, we have done nothing to benefit them 100 years from now. 100 years from now, they will not be in this present plane. They'll be elsewhere, but they will yet be alive. And without Christ, they will be alive into death, suffering forever and ever. So make this our primary passion, that both now they would enjoy the Lord, and forever and ever they'd be able to enjoy the Lord. So teach them the gospel, that God loves them so very much that He sent His only Son, Jesus, to them, so that whoever would believe in Him, would trust in Him, that's where salvation begins, trust, would not perish but would have eternal life. You see, the saved life commences with trusting in God, and the saved life then continues every moment of every day by trusting in God. It's fundamental. Number one, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Fundamental two, do not lean on your own understanding. I want you to picture for a moment an injured man. He's broken his leg. It's fresh break. He gets a new pair of crutches, and he's trying out his crutches for the first time, and he has to put all the weight of his whole body upon his crutches, and as he does that, he discovers that the crutches were made of paper mache. What just happened is he leaned upon those crutches. Well, his crutches are going to crush underneath his weight, at least my weight they would, and he's going to fall on the floor, and let's say he breaks his hip, he has a greater injury. Why? Because he leaned on something that shouldn't have been leaned upon, something that was untrustworthy, unreliable. Our own understanding is nothing more than paper mache crutches. Do not lean on wet paper mache crutches. That is a foolish thing to do. So God says, do not lean on your own understanding. You will fall, and it'll be disaster for your soul. Trusting in God requires a decisive action. Leaning on our own understanding is our natural default. So every morning I wake up, and guess what I'm leaning on? I'm leaning on my own understanding until I say, I need to make a decision to trust in the Lord for my life today. And I need to make a decision not to lean on my understanding, because that's my natural fall. That's the way I think about life. That's the way we all do. When will we be tempted to lean on our own understanding? The answer is every moment of every day. You know, we just get locked into our own thoughts, our own hard attitudes. But I think there are five key circumstances when leaning on our own understanding is very, very tempting. We're tempted to lean on our own understanding when we think about our salvation. We think about our eternal soul. You see, our own understanding sees our sin as really small and insignificant. You know, compared to other people, we're so much, we're set. You know, if God only takes in 20%, I think I'm in that 20% at least 50% surely. And we also then think of our goodness as sufficient. Whatever I've done over here for the bad that I can overcome by doing all this good that I'm trying to pile up before the Lord. That's our own understanding. That's the way we think about the day of judgment. God says, don't lean on your own understanding. Listen to what the scriptures have to say about everyone's eternal, absolute need for a Savior. Our sin will bring us only condemnation, and we need Christ. Second circumstance we're tempted to lean upon our understanding is when we have an important decision to make. Our own understanding makes us confident that we know what is best. You know, we're smart. We think through this. We think through all the options. We have all the plans. Okay, I think I narrowed it down. This is the path to go. We're tempted to lean on our understanding when we suffer a great loss. Our own understanding points a finger of blame at God or blame at other people for our pain. We're tempted to lean on our own understanding when we experience fear. Our own understanding will paralyze us by rolling the fears over our soul with such anxious thoughts that we feel hollowed out from all strength inside. We're tempted to lean on our understanding when temptation comes our own way. We look at that temptation, our own understanding, and we think the sin is small and the benefit of that sin is worth it. So we become deceived by sin itself and by the temptation to think that the benefit, the cost-benefit ratio is in our favor. Do not lean on your own understanding, and yet it is the most natural thing of all to do. That's why the command is given. It's why it's so fundamental to teach it, because it's never something anyone has for themselves. They have to be taught. Don't lean on your own understanding. I think of Frank Sinatra, that great singer, sang hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of songs. He was a giant in the entertainment world for 6 decades, selling more than 150 million records. He had 127 songs make the top 20, 70 songs make the top 10, 10 of his songs reached the number one song in the nation. Do you know which song of Frank Sinatra's sold more than any others and was the most popular of all? My Way. There we go. Some of you are singing it. And now the end is here, and so I face that final curtain. My friend, I'll make it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway, and more, much more, I did it. I did it my way. I can think of no song that is more corrupting to the soul, more defiant of God than that one. And yet there it is, popular among the myriads of songs that Frank Sinatra sang, reveled in by the crowds. Why? Why? Because we so want to be able to do it our way. That's what our flesh does. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to my way. Look at verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Proverbs 26:12, do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. We think that we actually have the best outcome in view and the best means to get to that outcome, and we don't. Jesus constantly uses this little phrase, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He uses that phrase because so many times when we believe what we want to hear from the Lord, we're really seeking affirmation of our own opinions. We're saying, okay, Lord, here's my plan. Will you bless it? We're saying, here's my opinion. I'm right, aren't I? And Jesus says, no, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, because what I'm about to tell you is going to contradict everything that's rolling through your own heart, everything that's rolling through your own mind. Your own logic was going to lead you astray on this one. Now, God gave us a mind to use, but not to rely on. We rely upon the scriptures, upon God's revelation, upon God's sure word. Here's the truth. God will not impart his wisdom to any person who is confident in their own. We must lose confidence in our own wisdom in order to gain the wisdom of God. So here's some applications for us as parents. Parents, teach your children to doubt themselves. Let me ask you, have you ever heard that in any school educational seminar on parenting? Any secular book, even a Christian book, very many, right? Parents, teach your children to doubt themselves. Self-doubt is the beginning of faith. If we never doubt ourselves, we'll never come to recognize we need another truth. We need God's truth, and our God's truth is not inside of us. God's truth is outside of us, and we need to listen, learn, and then submit our lives to it. Children without self-doubt become miserable adults. They're defiant and angry, demanding and manipulating, self-justifying and self-righteous, worldly. The second application, teach your children never to doubt God's word. It's the one thing that's sure. It's established forever in heaven. I love that little child song that I learned as a kid. My grandchildren are learning. My kids learn it. My grandchildren learn it. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. This is the one thing that I'm standing on. It's the foundation for my life. It's the one truth that never moves with culture. Never moves as a result of time. It is true when creation began. It'll be true when all of human history ends. And it's true today. Teach your children and never doubt God's word. And third, root all your discipline and instruction in God's word. In other words, let your children see your source. You know, in academics, there's sometimes say, hey, you got to show your source. You know, you write an academic paper, you just can't just say this is true. You got to show where'd you get that from. Well, it's so important for us as parents to let our children see the source of any wisdom that we impart to them. Parents, we don't discipline our toddlers when they take another child's toy because it's not nice. We don't say, hey, that's just not nice, so don't do that. We discipline our toddlers when they take another child's toy because God's word says, you shall not covet. Teach them where you get your moral direction. I get this from the word, from God's word. God says, thou shalt not covet. And what you're doing when you're looking at that toy that other child has in their hands, you're wishing it were yours right now. And then God's word says, thou shalt not steal, and you're taking it from them. Teach our children that coveting conflicts with our worship of the Lord and ultimately our own personal joy. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, fundamental one. Do not lean on your own understanding, fundamental two. Fundamental three, acknowledge God in everything. In all your ways, acknowledge him. To acknowledge God means that we're first aware of his presence. So we can't acknowledge a person that we don't even know is in the room. God is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere all the time. And so everywhere we are, God is. And yet how often are we even aware that he's there? It's the simplest thing of all because we're trusting our own understanding. We're in our little world not to even be aware, be conscious that God is present with us. And then acknowledging God is much more than awareness. It's an affirmation. Say, okay, God, you're here. Welcome. And it's more than an affirmation. It's also a joy. Hey, I'm glad you're here. I'm real excited that you've chose to dwell with me. And that you're truly present as any other physical person is here. You're truly present with me. In all your ways, acknowledge God. Acknowledge that he's present. Acknowledge that he. It's good that he's present. Acknowledge that you want to hear what he has to say as he's being present because he does want to speak into our lives. So what circumstances call us to invite the Lord into the table, into the conversation? Well, every circumstance, every big ones and small ones. It's right to think about that as parenting. How are we helping our kids become aware that God's present, to affirm that he's present, Lord, you're here, and then to welcome him and to invite him into the conversation? Every circumstance, in all your ways, acknowledge him. God's fingerprints are everywhere in everything, and he wants us to notice him. Think of a few practical scenarios. You're walking through the park with your little son, and you see some wildflowers, and you could just simply say, hey, look how beautiful that blue and yellow is. Or you could also add, and son, do you know who gave this flower such lovely clothes? Why would God do that? He wants to show that he cares about a flower that's here today, and tomorrow when we walk by here, that flower is going to be falling off. Do you think that God cares more for you than he cares for that flower? Let's not be anxious. Imagine rain ruins a big birthday picnic your daughter has planned and she was so excited about having it outside the park. Daughter, who sends the rain to water the earth? What do you think God is doing by having it rain when you planned a picnic with your friends today? Let's talk about that. These aren't glib, you know, easy discussions, but it's acknowledging God. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Here he is. It's a sad day because we can't have the party at the picnic, but let's acknowledge the Lord. A teen boy asks your daughter to the prom, and you know your daughter thinks he's dreamy. Daughter, what do you think God is saying to you about this decision in his word? Let's just talk about it with God being present. What does it look like for you to make a decision by faith as you trust in the Lord for your life and your future? How do we acknowledge God in everything? And I think there are two key ways. First, we listen then, after we invite him to the table, then we listen to what God has to say, because God has something to say to us about everything. And then we talk to God before we do anything. We acknowledge God by listening to what he says about everything. That means our Bibles are often open. First, it means as parents, it's so vital for you to study the Bible for yourself so you know God's word and you're resting on God's word so that you can communicate God's word. God's word is the Spirit's means by which we are given spiritual life and feed that life. Informally then, we relate God's word to every part. When our children are eating and playing and working on projects and being with friends and going through hardships, experiencing hurts, having decisions of every kind, we connect our child's life informally to God's word. We think about some ways that God's words intersect with all of those real life situations. But then formally, we teach God's word to our children. We have some time. Okay, this is going to be Bible time. We're going to talk about some things. And, you know, I don't know how it's going to connect to life. We'll see where the conversation goes. But we're going to teach the scriptures. And then that second application is to acknowledge God by talking to God before we do anything. You know, God's always in the room with us, so let's act like it. You know, have you ever been in a room and you've been ignored? Like, oh man, well, people act like I'm not even here because they're not talking with me. They don't care what I have to say about anything. Just being ignored. Well, how often is God like that? You know, he's in the room and, okay, I'm over here. You're talking about a big decision you're making. Hey, I have some wisdom over here. Acknowledge him and then bring him into the conversation with our kids by saying, let's talk to the Lord about this. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to FaceTime with my 2-year-old grandson, Asher, who lives in Colorado. And two big things were happening in Asher's life. One, he had a temperature, so he wasn't feeling great. And secondly, he's potty training. So that's big time. He's pretty excited about this. And so, you know, we did our normal thing. We talked about trucks and diggers and his trip to the park that he had with his mom and dad recently. And I said, Asher, you know, before we go, can I pray for you? And he nodded. And he was very focused as I prayed for him and his little brother to be healed from their sickness. And I prayed that the Lord would help him as he learned how to use the potty. And then I prayed that his little heart would be soft toward the Lord and soft toward his parents, that he'd obey his parents and obey the Lord. And I asked God to bless him. He said, amen. Amen. And then we were ready to say goodbye. It's that a simple thing, but many parents, that's just absent. And I just want to encourage you as Christian parents, don't let that be absent. Christian grandparents, don't let that be absent. Christian friends, don't let that be absent as you influence one another. Say, hey, Lord's in the room. Can we talk to the Lord about some of these things we've just been talking about together? Let's talk to the Lord because he actually listens to us and he answers us. So let's talk together about this. So fundamental one, trust the Lord with all your heart. Fundamental two, don't lean on your own understanding. Fundamental three, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And fundamental four, it's so important. It's often the one thing that's lost. Expect God to fulfill his promises to you. To feed our children the promises of God, the hope of what God does, all the statements where God is showing he really is for us. Here is the statement, and he will make your path straight. Well, what does that mean? God doesn't promise that our life as believers will be free of pain and suffering and troubles and heartaches and evil assaults. Jesus says, hey, in this world, you will have tribulation. Expect it. But God promises us that if we trust in him, we don't lean on our understanding, if we acknowledge him, then he promises us that he will go before us on this path that's ahead of us. So there's going to be tomorrow, and God's already there, and he's on that path, and he's looking over all the circumstances of the path before we get there. And you know what he's doing? He's removing some obstacles. He's especially making sure that there's no evil that will harm our soul. He won't let that happen. That doesn't mean we're going to have trouble. It doesn't mean we're going to have faith. He says, there's nothing evil that's going to harm you if you walk in my path. I'm going before you, and I'm going to make your path straight. I'm going to take away some obstacles that you don't need right now, and I'm going to arrange other obstacles so that they actually help you on the path to be strong in faith and ultimately to have greater joy when you get to the end of this path. I will make your path straight. I'll make your path smooth. And furthermore, after I've done all that, while I'm doing that, I'm also present with you right now, and I'm going to walk with you on the path you're presently walking. That's Psalm 23, you know, the Lord's our shepherd and we don't lack anything. And he says, even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you'll fear no evil because I'm with you. Notice in our passage how consistently God ties the application of wisdom, our trust in him, to some reward that we actually desire for our lives. So in verse 4, you'll find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Here in verse 6, again, you'll make your path straight. Verse 8, you'll be healing to your flesh, refreshment to your bones. Verse 10, your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will be bursting with wine. Verse 13 and 14, blessed is the one who finds wisdom, the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than the gain from silver and her profit better than gold. Why does God make all these promises to us? Is it to bribe us? No, it's to show us, no, I really actually do love you, and I'm actually wise, and I'm actually powerful, and I'm able to bring my blessing to you, and my blessing is great. There's nothing like it, because I'm good. And I want you to be reminded over and over and over and over again. And oftentimes, as parents, we teach them the commandments of God without the blessings of God. We're missing a fundamental. We ought to talk as much about the blessings of the Lord and the promises given so there's a vision for our kids that the commandments of God don't rob us of life. They actually lead us to life. Parents, let your children know that you have their best interests in your heart, that you want them to have a great life now and forever. And then let them know that God has their best interest in his heart and he wants them to have a great life now and forever. So these are the fundamentals. We want to teach our children to trust in the Lord with all their heart. We want to teach our children, do not lean on your own understanding. That'll lead to disaster. We want to teach our children, acknowledge the Lord in all our ways. And we're going to teach our children that God is so good and he's offered a bountiful life, both now in the midst of this suffering dark age, but forever and ever, unmitigated, uninterrupted. So if you had one amazing hour to teach anything to your children, where they would listen, they'd understand, they'd apply, and they'd remember it for the rest of their lives, what would you teach them? May we teach them the fundamentals of life with God.
Rich will be right back to wrap up today's message. We're glad you joined us and encourage you to invite friends to listen. You can stay connected during the week through our website, knowingchrist.org. Now, here's Rich with some closing thoughts.
Well, thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. We so desire and pray that this radio ministry will be a blessing to you and to your life. If you are a parent or a grandparent, you know the weight that you carry about for the future and for the goodness of your children and grandchildren. You so desire for them to thrive, and you know also much of the disappointments, much of the difficulties, much of the anxious thoughts and fears that come up as a result of being a parent or a grandparent. And we want to come alongside of you. You know, we believe that God hears us when we pray, and that we often have not because we ask not. And so we would encourage you and ask you if you would allow us to pray for your children and your grandchildren. Connect with us, share the name, and share some specific prayer requests. We believe God hears specifically. And we will call out to God on behalf of your children and your grandchildren. We'd love to have that ministry in your life. So please share with us how we might do just that. May God bless you.
Thanks for listening today. It's such a blessing to bring you these messages each week. We're now on over 125 stations across the country, and we're thankful for what God is doing. But we need your help. As God provides, would you consider sending a financial gift to Knowing Christ? Your gifts allow us to continue offering the resources for free and will allow us to grow the ministry as God directs. Giving is easy. Just go to our website, knowingchrist.org, and select the Support tab. That's knowingchrist.org. And we thank you in advance. For the sake